Today I'm interviewing Mr. Jim Tonks of Jane Street, Berwick. The decision as to who I was going to interview was relatively simple, as Mr. Tonks is one of a few living members of the old Berwick Football Club. Although finding a time convenient for both of us to do this interview was difficult, we finally found one just before he set out on yet another holiday. I appreciate the time Mr. Tonks spent with me, both preceding and during the interview, and the information he gave me regarding other aspects of my history option. Good evening, Mr. Tonks. How long have you and your family lived in this district?
Since 1923. That's, 63 years, isn't it?
63 years. Were you born far from Berwick?
Born in England.
So what made your family? You came with your family, your mother and father?
Yes, well, my father was a First World War AIF soldier, and he fought on Gallipoli, and then later on in France. He was wounded in France, went to England, and on his convalescence he married my mother. And then after that he went back to the front in France, and in the Battle of Pozieres he was blown up by a shell and lost his leg. He also lost two brothers, and my mother lost her father in that war. Then in 1919 they came to Australia.
Have you been involved with the Berwick Football Club for a very long time?
Well, yes, I have. My father was involved from the time he came to Berwick, which was 1923. He was in the committee, I think, in 1925.
It wasn't long after it evolved, was it?
Well, it the Berwick Football Club, I think, played the first competitive game in about 1882. They played local teams, and those days went by train, steam train, to Coorong, and Dandenong, and various other places. But and my father coming to Berwick from Traralgon in 1923, he took an active part in all of life in Berwick, and that was one of the things that he was associated with the football club, later on being in the committee and selection committees and so on. So in 19, I was associated, no junior football was played by Berwick clubs in those days.
No.
It was just one senior side.
Did you ever play yourself?
Yes, I played because in those days, having no junior side, you had to make it into the senior.
Yes.
So football wasn't played in junior form the way it is today.
It's all in together.
You had to go in. So I was about 15 when I played my first game. That would be roughly in 1933, something like that.
So you would have been playing against people as old as your father then?
Yes, well, some of them were pretty old, yes. It was a lot rougher, a lot harder in those days than the football is today. It was a lot slower, and grounds were very, very bad. And one, I played at Scoresby, the mud was halfway up my legs. You couldn't mark a ball
as the
ball came
out.
Dreadful. And Melbury Ground, in those days, they ran a furrow around it. The late Jack Funston ran a single mulboard around the other perimeter of the ground, and they went to the bush and cut four poles for point posts. And his cows then grazed on the football ground. So you can imagine the state of it at various times.
Like a paddock. It was a paddock.
Well, that's right.
I believe you and your wife have a few sons. Have any of them played for Berwick Football Club?
The whole lot. Five of them played.
Was it parental encouragement or simply eagerness which made them decide to play?
Well, I think parental encouragement is one of the main factors in most things in sport. If parents give their support, then usually the children will play that sport, which they're encouraged to play.
Why did you encourage your sons to play for Berwick Football Club in particular?
Well, I suppose it's because rules football has been part of our way of life, especially in Victoria. We played it as kids at school, and it's the sort of thing that you play, you hand, it was handed down. There was no rugby or soccer or things like that.
I understand. Are any of your sons still playing today?
One only plays senior football. One is a coach and sometimes plays football. He coaches the under 19s, I think, in VFA, Victorian Football Association.
That's Dick Tonks, isn't it?
That's Dick, yeah.
Do you have a position within the club now or previously?
I did. I've had most positions over the years. Been on committees and was president and vice president for a good number of years, and president and delegate to the league meetings, and also served on the tribunal. And I'm now a life member of the Berwick Football Club.
Can you recall any funny or interesting incidents in the history of the Berwick Football Club that might not be known to the general public that you've been involved in?
Well, there are such a lot of them. Some most amusing incidents. I can recall one incident when I was a trainer, because we couldn't get qualified trainers, whoever would do the job, they carried it out. So on this occasion, it was one winter's night, and a player who's still in Berwick, Jimmy Henry, went down on the ground, and I raced out with the medical kit and towel to lend encouragement, and when I got there, he had very thin legs, Jim, so I asked him what was the matter. He said it was giving him pain, so I attempted to rub some oil on his leg. And he said, that feels better. So I said, well, stand up, Jim. We stood him up and he collapsed on the ground again because he had a broken leg. So that shows that we wanted qualified medical. And then I remember another rather humorous occasion when we had the captain of one of our junior sides at Dufton. And his name was Peter Spinks, I'm not quite certain, but anyway, he was the captain, and there'd been a pretty torrid game. There'd been fights taking place, and in the course of this young lad had his finger dislocated. So I ran out and attempted to pull it back into the place again, until he protested loud, and I said, hang on, and he said, yes, but he said, you've got the wrong finger. Anyway, we had to take him to the doctor. He had a big job on it.
I can understand. Was Berwick Football Club affected by any nationwide disturbances like wars, depression?
Yes, the depression had a big effect on it because at one stage it looked like folding up in 1935, I think. And the Presbyterian boys had a club called the Kappas, KSP, Kappa Sigma Pi. And the late Wilfred Collins, who was then the Presbyterian minister, he suggested that the club be kept together by the Kappas. And for some years they played as the KSP, Kappa Sigma Pi team, but it wasn't only Presbyterians, there was all religious denominations in it. And he was instrumental in holding it together in those years. It was very, very hard, very difficult years. And they were the ones that instituted the original colours that existed after war. That is, they had a navy blue Guernsey with a white monogram, in which was KSP. Mm-hmm. Now, after the war, they went back to the Berwick Football Club, which was BFC, and that's where that originated. But the original colours were navy blue with a white sash running from the left shoulder down to the right. That had existed, I understand, from the turn of the century, right up until 1935.
Mm. Do you believe that the Berwick Football Club has increased in numbers over the past 20 years?
Well, it's had its highs, and probably it's got a low now.
Yes.
That is due to them going to the VFA, where they haven't got the local following,
right,
going to suburban matches. But the 70s was the greatest, possibly the flood of the Berwick Football Club took place then, because we had lots of junior sides. We still have lots of junior teams, but the problem is the senior sides. because of the competitive nature of VFA football, it requires a lot of finance to get suitable players, to purchase them and to compete. Well, we're having very great difficulties now because we haven't got the finance. We fought a court case to get into the VFA, which cost a lot of money. Then the pavilion was burnt down, which all the records were destroyed and the club facilities. So really we're starting off scratch, and it's not easy at the moment.
As you're probably aware, the Yede Berwick Inn financially aided the very first Berwick Football Club team back in 1986. Are they continuing to do so now?
Well, I understand they do in various ways. They were particularly helpful when Mr. Barry Johnson had the Berwick Hotel.
And now he's taken over
at the Beacon,
Virginia. Yeah. Are there any other major sponsors of the Berwick Football Club? I know there's lots of...
Well, and there are a lot of local sponsors, butchers and various tradespeople. In that regard, I suppose we've got more support now than we have had in the past. Very difficult in the past to get the local people enthusiastic, but since the business people have got behind it, there is some finance coming into that.
Do you think it's mainly because of the financial difficulties Berwick had when they'd gone to the VFA initially?
Yes, I think that's where it stemmed from, that they're having difficulties today to purchase players, because I don't know the exact figures, probably 10,000 would have cost in the run up to the court.
I heard there's a $700 insurance they must pay for each game they play. So a lot for one game.
The figures are high.
Yes. Why do you believe that these sponsors or local advertisers think the Berwick Football Club is good advertising?
Well, I think it's to encourage locals, and also that they by having their names around the fence on banners and so on, they're enabled to bring that more to the public, and whether or not it pays off, it's hard to say, but I think it does, by and large, encourage junior sport and so on. But when we say about finance, it was much harder to get finance in the years when, for instance, I was on committees back in the 60s, and we had no more outgoings than about $200 to the coach and some minor outgoings. But we had gates of only, say, $40. We didn't pay players. There were footballs and things like that, and there's the junior sides which we had to provide jumpers for and so on, and the seniors. But it was very, very difficult. The support from people was very meagre in those days.
Going on to the change to the VFA, what do you believe were the main reasons from the change from the South West Gippsland Football League to the Victorian Football Association?
In what regard?
What was the committee's main goals to go to the VFA?
Well, I personally wasn't in favour of going to the VFA. Many years before that, I was one of those that proposed that we amalgamate some South West Gippsland sides with West Gippsland and form a two-division competition, which would have kept us in a country area, and there are a lot of things which have to be taken into account. Why I think the lack of support, local support, is because we have to go as far as Werribee and outside of Sunshine and Northcote, and people just don't like going the traffic.
Oh no, not if they're... inevitably they're going to lose. I'm not being nasty, but
well,
they're not doing well.
Another thing too is that those grounds don't cater for cars to drive in, by and large. Some have got some limited facilities, but in country football, you can drive your car right around the ground, sit in your car, watch the football, have your thermos and eat in the comfort of your car. And they're the wettest winter days, you're right. But VFA is totally different, unless you can make it in the grandstand. And I think that's one. Whereas we only have relatively few miles to travel here, so if we had been in West Gippsland, Drillin would have been about the furthest down, and that's quite easy to get to. But it was opposed. We lost by one vote at a vote here at Berwick, and that was the death knell of that amalgamation. Mm.
Was there any trouble in this change of association?
Yes, there was. There's legal difficulties, and from the southwest, and with the Berwick involved in court proceedings, and which cost both the league and Berwick quite a lot of money in legal representations and so on. It was very unfortunate. In my opinion, it was a tragedy that it happened. In my view, it need not have happened. But unfortunately, it did. And I think now it's going to be very difficult for a reconciliation. There has been approaches from South West, but the administration of Berwick, by and large, comprised of the men that had to suffer in that legal wrangle, and they are the ones instrumental in doing the most for Berwick at this juncture.
Mm. Was there any one person who initiated this change?
No, I think there was, well, during the time that I was associated with Berwick, and that was one of the things that really failed the amalgamation of the South West and West Gippsland proposal from Berwick, from our own particular viewpoint, was some felt that Berwick, being more urban than rural, should consider at some later date VFA affiliation. And although at that time it wasn't propitious to do it, later on the decision was made by other younger members.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, the junior football club started back in the 60s.
Yes.
Who initiated this introduction, or was it just by public demand?
I think it came about by a general consensus of opinion that junior football was the way to go, which of course it is. It was encouraged by such things as a desire to have local players and encourage them to come up to the senior ranks, and that's why they did it.
How much has the junior football club increased in numbers since its beginning?
Very considerably, the juniors, because they have all sorts of sides. Now, personally, I'm of the view that in some ways it hasn't led to junior footballers going on to senior football.
Understood.
For the simple reason they are playing football too soon. Some of them are playing in the 8s and 10-year-olds, competitive football urged on by their parents, who are very, very vociferous in their approach to football at that age. They have a tendency to support their children, sometimes unwisely in my opinion, pushing them far too hard. And by the time they get to junior ranks, I think they generally follow them well up until they go into the under-17s. And we have found in the past, once they reach under-17s, they're left like little fledgling birds, and there's no longer the support. They've had maybe how many years from the time they're 8 to 17? That's 9 years. Which, in the olden days, I started football, senior football, at 15 years old. That was about the first senior game I had. So I didn't get sick of it. But now they are. They've been pushed and pushed. Their coaches sometimes are very, very tough on them, even more tough. And I've heard some coaches addressing them and calling them weaklings and various other names, which in my opinion is not the way to go. Mm. And so consequently, I was talking just recently to a Dufton official and coach, and he said he counted in some of the teams that they had no more than 3 or 4 that stayed on in senior ranks. The rest just disappeared. Some of them would have made very good footballs, but they were just burnt off.
Is there much parental involvement in the junior club on the good side of things, like committees?
Yes, I think there's more than ever, and it's gratifying in that regard. I think the real difficulty is some parents having too much concern that their children play in the image that they require them to play, and therefore what I've mentioned, they can see the position that the child should do what they want,
They fall short of their expectations.
Yes, that's the problem. And then again, the child suffers greatly from it, and he's turned against football. If he was allowed to just go along, it's not always the brilliant footballers that shine out in junior ranks that make senior ranks. It's often the player that just keeps going along and loves football.
Is the parental involvement encouraged by Berwick Football Club?
Oh yes, yes it is. It's it is encouraged greatly. We want in football generally, we want as much parental involvement in canteen and various jobs have to be done.
And they play an important role.
Yes, they do. Great, yes.
This is a long question. Do you think, taking into consideration the change from the South West League to the VFA, the introduction of the junior club and the population growth in Berwick, that Berwick Football Club's number of supporters has increased or decreased over the past 20 years? All of those factors combined, do you think they've increased?
Well, I haven't had a great deal of involvement recently with junior clubs.
Well, including the senior.
But I would say possibly there's been, in proportion to population, there's been some going back, really. I would say the 70s was the time that the era when football came into flood.
Would the change of the VFA be a cause in this decrease? Lack of community?
Not in junior sides, because there's only, they're still associated with South West Gippsland and other leagues, as far as I know. But there's only one side that's involved in VFA in the junior ranks, that is, I think it's down to 19s.
Yes, the thirds.
Yes, thirds.
Why is Berwick Football Club so popular with its local area? I know its popularity has diminished in the last few years, but it still is a popular thing to go and watch.
Well, I think it's a code itself. I think it's Australian rules. It's always had a lot more going for it than other codes. Soccer is scientific. It's surgically so, in my opinion. It doesn't offer the clashes. And that's being attempted to be taken out of league football too. And far more injuries, strangely enough, today to players than there were when I played, and it was a lot tougher and harder, because I can remember getting a welt in the ear most Saturday afternoons. But you learn to watch yourself and guard against it. It was a lot slower. There's been a lot of talk about that it was much better football. I disagree. It was, for instance, the drop kick is often mooted as being one of the things that was wonderful. Well, it was. Those that could do it. But on our side, there was only relatively few that could do it, and that was on a dry day. The fullback was instructed never to drop kick out on a wet day. We always had someone dropping short in case the ball hit the ground before he got it underway. But when I remember two players. There was Dick Grant, who had played with Collingwood. He was over 6 foot tall, mountain of a man, and Derek Chappell, and the old Berwick ground, one could kick the ball out from the goal, the other one mark in the centre, and he could put it through the goal at the other end. They were mighty kicks.
Because the oval was much larger in those days.
Yes, they were tremendous kicks.
Right back to the cemetery.
75 and 80 yards they could put the ball.
Right. Yeah. In your opinion, do you believe that Berwick Football Club is going to keep on increasing in size in years to come?
That will depend on a lot of factors. It just depends how much effort is put in by various bodies to make it so. And the competition that comes from other sports. See, today, with a lot of money, young fellas have a car at 18, they're able to take their water skis and their surfboards and all the rest of it, and away they go. Even in winter time they can travel up the coast if necessary. Well, in those days when we played, there was nothing like that. There was only football. And you played that in the winter, and cricket in the summer. We were not able to go about the way they do today. So you were limited, and it was the town's population that was all they had
centered
to
do. Centred around it.
Yeah, centred around that. That, because in those days, it seems strange, but it's an analogy which you could use with football. One of the things that we did as kids was to go down on a Sunday night to the railway station where the steam train came in. And the station master, decked out in his gold cap, was a man to be admired. Today, of course, the railways have fallen away. And in some ways, possibly in football, that might have happened a little bit too. It's lost its allure perhaps for some people today who have other things that they can do.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Tonks. I appreciate your time.
I could tell you one other little instance that wouldn't happen today, but I can recall one. He's still in town. He was telling me that one particular umpire, on a winter's night, they considered hadn't done the right thing by them during the game. And the conclusion of the match, they grabbed hold of him and threw him into the local pond, which is at the eastern side of the ground.
They'd be suspended for life.
There were a lot more, and one of the things that a lot wouldn't know about is in 1927, I was only a young fellow then, a kid, and Glenn Waverley played Dandenong in the grand final on the Berwick football ground. They'd played it off twice before, and there'd been two protest rides and upheld, and this match was held here. They'd mounted police, and they had policemen with truncheons. Now, they might talk about how the police deal with protesters today, but there was a fight evolved on the ground, and there's a huge crowd for those days. They surged onto the ground to be driven back by the police with the batons. So,
didn't that end up in some massive brawl with police?
This is a big brawl, but they controlled it. They got them off the ground and the game proceeded. I've forgotten who won, whether it was Dandenong Rovers or they were called Dandenong Rovers and or Glen Waverley. I've forgotten. That was about 1927.
They would have gone home with a few bruises.
Yes, well, there's so many incidents I could tell you, but to pick them out, it's very difficult. There's been
very
some
colourful history.
Been some wonderful games, and I've had a lot of enjoyment over the years out of it, and especially in junior football. We brought a side up from the 14s, under 14s, to the under 17s. They were not what you might call the category of other sides, but they certainly had a lot of club spirit, and we got up into the second semi with them. And twice we took them away on trips away, and they were a grand bunch of boys. A lot of them went on to senior football later on, but some of them were very good players. And a couple of them made league. One of them was Michael Tuck, and another one was Matty Johnson, if I can recall. My own son, Dick, he made BFA. We've had some good footballers.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Tonks. I'll finish it there.
Well, let's have a little listen to this.